No problem. We got a potluck, so you guys don't mind staying a little late, right? That's right, yeah. Be munching on stuff while talk. All right. Am I on here? Mr. Seth? Okay, good. Excellent. We good on the PowerPoint? There we go. Okay. Well, this morning is a chance. A lot of what we've been talking about the last number of weeks, what I'd like to do is just try to get practical and offer some easy, quick steps. But before I do that, I wanted to shout out Justin and Summer Wollerman. They're from Casper, Wyoming. They're just coming through town. They wanted to get a little bit warmer than Casper. And so this is where they go in the winter, is Loveland. But in all seriousness, next week I'll be gone. I'll be staying with them, with our family. We're going to be doing a Taste of Perspectives get together with church leaders in Casper and trying to help set a vision for pastors and ministry leaders and anybody who's interested in Casper. There's never been a single perspectives class in the whole state of Wyoming. And God loves ranchers and oil and gas workers, and he wants to help mobilize them as well. And so if you could be praying for that, and feel free to say hi to Justin and Summer. They're dear, like-minded saints and been with us in a lot of different things, and so it's really fun to have you guys here. I'm glad you're here. But like I said this morning, I really want to try to get as practical as I can as we think about being a sent one, being a disciple, to move that from theory and, yeah, sure, that sounds great, into what does that start to actually look like when it comes to how you budget your time, how you budget your money, how you think about all sorts of decisions. And so we're going to fly through a lot of this. This is mostly just a review. And we talked about that this common understanding that as we're beggars get here, our understanding is that we're a community of disciples. We're a community where each one of us, that's the call. I understand there's different places you might be in your allegiance or your acceptance of what that means, but that's what we're gathering together around. Not to build a huge crowd, not to try to have lots of programs. There's a lot of different ways we can think about what church is, and as Pat and I think about what church is in the New Testament, is a gathering of disciples, gathering of people that are following Jesus. And there's certain things through the book of Acts that you see, what do they have in common of gathering together underneath the word to worship, to pray, to care for each other, to be a witness. And so as we think about these definitions of life with Jesus, becoming more like him, and then living your life for him, that can, I'm guessing everyone in here would go, I intellectually assent to those things. Those things sound great. But like we just heard, there was a point in which the rubber met the road and Lazarus ended up in France. There's something that Lazarus felt responsible for, where he didn't just go, I really agree with that book. It started to translate into everything that he did and into all the disciples and the apostles. They felt a responsibility for what they had been given from Jesus, his teaching, the connection with him, and then his mission to the world. They felt that responsibility so much so that it really started to change what they did with their lives, to the point where they would all be killed and martyred for their faith, except for John the Apostle. That's the point at which it went to. It got out of, we're following a rabbi who might bring the restoration of Israel, to my whole life has been flipped upside down, and now I have thought about this world completely differently. I think about my relationships, all of my resources, all those things. And so really the question I'd love to ask for you, and this is a reflection, you might just want to think through this over the next week or so. Do you feel a personal responsibility for these things? Do you feel responsible to be with Jesus, to spend time with him? Do you feel responsible for your life to come more under his headship, for you to be more spiritually formed by his image? Do you feel a responsibility to be light and salt and to be a witness and to be an ambassador? Because at some point in our lives, we either go, that's really good church teaching. Thank you so much. I'll listen. You know, that's awesome. And then at some point, it has to translate. Do I feel a responsibility tomorrow morning? Jesus has given me things that he wants me to walk and cooperate with him in. And for me, it just changes everything. If when you read through the Gospel of John, he says, if you love me, you will obey me. If that feels like a heavy-handed, like, if you really want to show your love, then you're going to better start doing what I say. I don't think that's his vibe or his tone. I think what he's saying, if you love me, you will cooperate with me. There's this attachment as God's grace that's deposited into our souls where we start to say, what does that mean for my vocation? What does that mean for my parenting? What does that mean for my neighboring? What does that mean for all of those things? And to start to feel I have a mantle that God's given me. So responsibility, what's that, right? Hopefully somebody got that song lyric. Responsibility, it's a trust you've been given, something that you're accountable and answerable to respond or answer to a request, a demand, or expectation. Responsibility is that thing that we dread as teenagers as we get older and we start saying, I have to do adulting. That really is just you're being given more and more responsibility. You're giving more and more for your own life and your own survival, for your own path and what that looks like. And so if you think of Jesus as giving you responsibility, he's given you influence, he's given you things to be accountable to, he's given you a charge, a stewardship, something where he says, I've put these things in your lap. Now you can decide what you want to do with those things. And what you decide to do will make a difference in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years. So for me, as I thought about when we think, you know, boy, this heavy topic, responsibility, is this just a bunch of forms and papers and make sure you get your taxes done by April 15th and all these different things that we can start to feel like, man, I forgot I need to blow up my sprinklers and man, there's a lot of things I'm responsible with, my kids and childcare. Do you see it as overall, I know there's a lot to grind through in life. It's not always happy, happy, joy, joy to be in that. But overall, when you look at what God has given, do you feel a sense of God has given me things. I'm joyful in that. I'm grateful. I'm sobered by that. I'm expectant. For me, it landed like a bunch of bricks with our first child. Anybody who's had a kid, the first time you hold your baby, you're like, this is a life in my hands that God has given me. And it's breathing, and it's pooping, and it's doing all sorts of things. And if I don't do anything, it's not going to live. I have this weight of like, wow, this is amazing, and wow, I've got a lot of work to do. And I don't think it's a mistake when people start referring to things as that's my baby, right? Have you ever heard people talk about things that they're responsible for, like that's my baby? Because it's kind of like our heart attaches to things, right? This project in France is a little bit of Garrett and Pat's baby. They're trying to help it. There's this weight of responsibility they feel, right? And not only that, they let you take it home, right? How many parents had that weight on their shoulders where they're like, all right, we had the baby. They're letting us leave the hospital with this baby, and we're just driving home. Like, there's no doctors or nurses coming with us. We're at home now, and we have to take care of this little one. She is in our entrustment. We are responsible for her. And thankfully, she's still here today. God gave us lots of grace. But do you sense that responsibility that Jesus has given you things? And he's given you things to take home and to work with. So just real quick, 1 Peter 4, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Did you know that if you don't use your gifts, there is an effect not only on you, but on the rest of the world? There's a stewardship that's not being developed in helping others to see the goodness of God, the fullness of the expression in the body. if we just start to put things under a bushel, under that light that doesn't shine, you have a stewardship with the gifts that God's given you. Do you feel a responsibility to develop that, to understand that, to be aware of that, of how to use that? Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified. Okay, so real quick as we get practical, if you think about what God has given you responsibility for, responsibility always follows authority. You cannot have responsibility for things that you don't have authority in. Okay, so if the government says you're responsible to file taxes on April 15th, but they don't let me choose how I want to use my money or all of those different things, I don't have authority to work how I'd want to or to pick a job that I'd want to, then how can I be responsible to you guys for that? Because you guys are deciding for me. Do you guys see how that works together? Authority is always linked to responsibility. Okay, so if you're accountable, if you're made responsible, like Pat and I, as the Bible says, we will have to give an account of how we as shepherds led the church of God. There's a responsibility on us. Therefore, God has given authority in how we would lead and what that would look like. You are given responsibility with your kids. Therefore, you have authority to make decisions. What that would look like, how you'd see God working in their lives best, what those decisions look like. Those two are always linked together. So one thing that can short circuit your ability to take responsibility is if you say you always feel powerless or you don't know how to access God's authority. God has given you a mantle as a son of God, as a parent, as a husband and a wife, as all sorts of things, as shepherds, as co-workers. You have been given responsibility and you've been given authority to move into those things. So if we boil all of what that looks like down, to me, responsibility is three things. Do you have these three things when it comes to your walk with the Lord? First is you have to have intention. If you don't want to be responsible, you don't have an intention to be responsible, we can just shirk it off and say, the HOA will take care of it, the government will take care of it, somebody will take care of it. You have to have an intention. I really want this. This is what I want to enter into. And we have to be honest. What do you really want? This is where the life of ease and comfort can steal away from our birthright of partnering with Jesus. Because if we just say, I want ease and comfort, we don't move into saying, God has given me things to manage, to steward. So managing and stewarding isn't comfortable and easy. There's hard decisions. There's analyzing decisions, all those different things. You need to have awareness. What is your role in that? As a shepherd, there's an accountability, but I'm not the great shepherd. That's not my role, is to be the savior. What is my role? How do I fulfill that? Do I have an awareness of that? And then we have to face it. We have to really work into it. Okay, here's where we're going to get practical. This may be too type A for you. That's totally fine. But I just want to present some different ways for you to think about how do you steward and shepherd your life? What do you feel responsible for? What do you feel like God has given you? So if we just look at 1 week at a glance, you got 168 hours, okay? And Jesus had 168 hours. And David had 168 hours. Everybody gets 168 hours in a week, okay? If we look at our lives, in all of these numbers, you can feel free, right? You're going to be like, well, I could sleep 4 hours. Or I sleep 10 hours. Whatever it looks like in your life. My point is, at the end, we're going to see how many hours we have. So about 50 hours a week we spend unconscious. Checked out in a coma, our body building muscles and repairing all sorts of things. Okay, so we've got eating 2 hours a day. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less for you. Now we're already down to 100. 100 hours left in your week, and all you've done is slept and eaten, okay? You're basically baseline survival, okay? We'll put chores maybe an hour a day, and that could include getting the mail, right? That can include all sorts of different things, from big chores to little chores. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. Maybe your day prep is more than an hour. Maybe you need 2 hours. That's totally fine. My point is, we haven't really even done anything yet. All we've done is slept, eaten, and gotten ready, and things are maybe kind of tidy, more or less. And we're down to half of our week that's left, basically. Half of your week. Okay, well now we got to work, right? Maybe it's 40, maybe it's 50, maybe it's 60, maybe it's 70. I don't know how many hours a week you're working, what that looks like. Obviously, the more work you do, the less this is you're going to have remaining. Okay? If you work 50 hours a week, you're down to 40 hours left. You're down to one full-time job of hours left in your month. Or sorry, in your week. Okay? If you have kids, there's obviously a lot of work that goes into parenting and getting them ready and brushing their teeth and wiping their noses and all sorts of stuff. 2 hours, is that enough? Maybe that's not enough. It's full time. You don't sleep, right? While you're sleeping, you're parenting. All the time. So really, we could have just put parenting. And then we just would have been done. Here's my point. That was probably pretty generous. And that leaves you with probably 20 to 25 hours. And do you want to have time in the Word? Do you want to have time to pray? Do you want to have time to connect on a date night? Do you want to have time to have some leisure, maybe have some rest? Where are you going to fit all these things in? And as we look at where we do put our time, I'm not very encouraged by the general public. I'm encouraged by your guys' lives. But the world and the soup we swim in would say, you got 20 hours. Hello, Netflix. We got that season binged. We got that taken care of. Just to give you guys, this is the world we're swimming in, okay? So for young men between 15 and 24, on average, a little less than 2 hours a day. This is per day spent playing video games. So 2 hours a day times 14 hours a week. 14 times 52, somebody can do that math. In 1 year, how much time is being given to having the high score? To having the most points in whatever it is? And if you were to say, I want to start to see the things that God has given me responsibility for and my life to look different in 5 years, in 10 years. This is for all adults, men and women, average spent per day in leisure and sports activities for those who engaged in activities. So on average, men spend just shy of 6 hours a day in sports and leisure. Women a little bit just over 5. That can be just socializing and communicating, which are good things. We need to talk. We need to have friends. We need to have times at the coffee shop together. Television. All I'm trying to help you see is the time that you're using that you've been given by God. Do you feel responsibility for what that could be used for? Here's a chart I want to ask you guys. What do you think this represents? It's an increasing sign, and those are minutes per day. Any guesses? What's that? Social media. It's time spent on your phone. Okay, so if we actually compute what that looks like, in 2019, on average, Americans spent 3.75 hours on their phone. This is non-talking time. So the thing we say we need a phone for, we need to buy a phone. But then we spend three, now it's upwards of almost 5 hours a day that people spend on their phone. Maybe that's really good stuff. Maybe you're budgeting your finances and you're memorizing verses and you're communicating and texting with your grandkids, whatever it might be. My point is that where God has given you a charge and responsibility to fulfill? Do we have a sense of that? So what I'd like to give you guys as we wrap up, do you have a scope of what God has given you responsibility for? Do you have a sense of personally, God has given me responsibility. He's given me responsibility with these four kids. He's given me responsibility with this body and this flock. He's given me responsibility on a cross-country team. There's all sorts of circles and areas which God has given us responsibility. Do you understand your scope and how you can budget and think about, am I sowing and stewarding what God has given me? And if I don't think about this critically, again, maybe this is too type A for you. For me, I go, I need a breakdown. I want an app that tells me how much time I've been on my phone. Because if it goes bang, 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 you've spent another, 15% more than you did last week. I want to know, what does that look like? So do you would you be able to make a list of what those things are that you're responsible for? Are you responsible for knowing all of the global news? Are you responsible? What are the things that you're giving your time to, and are those the things that Jesus would want you to spend your time? So the question would be, are you accountable? For what you are accountable for, are you devoting your energies and your time toward that? Would you have any roles that you need to understand and have better awareness in? Maybe you just go, I can't do that. I don't feel responsible for that because I just don't even know what it looks like to fulfill that. What do you need to establish there? What skills might you need to learn? If it's money and saying, I don't know where my money's going. I don't know how to steward my money or my time. Is there training you need? And we're going to blast through these. But really, I don't know if you guys realize this. You and I are responsible for our relationships. You're responsible for what is going through your heart when you think of others. Look at these verses in Romans 14. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. That verse is in the context of how you're doing in your heart of keeping a short list of offenses and how we treat one another. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Do you walk home saying, I have a responsibility from Jesus to, as far as it depends on me, to live at peace with all people and to build peace, to be a peace builder, a peacemaker? I can't just say I'm going to let things slide because Jesus gave me something. He gave me something that I need to be accountable towards. Okay? So here's your homework if you'd like to. You don't have to. This is an offer. And I've got some other resources. If anybody wants to go through any of these, just in your week, consider making a list. Okay? What has God made you spiritually responsible for? Parents, you guys are responsible for the upbringing and training and instruction of your kids, helping them to learn about God. Do you feel that when you go home? We need to do something here. They let us leave the hospital with this kid. It's up to us now what we're going to do. What's that? Yeah. What are you relationally responsible for? To live at peace with each other, to not let bitterness take root in your heart. What are we financially, emotionally? Are you clear on how to cooperate with God in those areas? And these are just a couple of, if these are helpful, you can use them. If not, you don't have to. One is from a ministry called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's just a personal assessment of where am I? Do I have an awareness of where on the map I am? Are there things that God would want me to grow in that I could start over the next year to say, I'm going to start devoting that 2 hours on the phone to instead doing this. And I guarantee you, your life will be different. What you sow to, you will reap. So this could be really helpful. The other one is a ministry called Soul Leader, Holistic Formation Assessment. Again, if these are too analytical and brainy and you just feel like, but you do need to have a plan. Do you have a plan of what walking as a disciple will look like? As you look at your time, as you look at your money, as you look at all of those different things.
I feel like there should be a physical responsibility too.
Yes.
You can easily get, like,
that's not exhaustive. Yes. So.
Because where I was asleep will actually make you psychotic.
Absolutely.
So we do have to put physical in there, because cooking and eating and sleeping and exercising.
100%. If you guys want to see me go crazy, see me without sleep. I need sleep. So yeah, I didn't put exhaustively. You know, you could put mentally. What are you going to be refreshing your brain with? What are you munching on intellectually? All sorts of different things. But for this week, I just encourage you guys, take some time. Take stock. Where am I at? What do I feel an accountability to God for? And am I giving my strength and my time and my faith and my best to those things? Because as we move forward, we do want to move forward in this into talking about parenting, talking about what does this look like to pass on to the next generation. All that we can pass on is what we're doing ourselves. So before we do that, we have to take stock of who we are as parents and as followers of Jesus. So let's pray, and I'll pray, and then Bob was going to pray for our food as we get ready for our potluck. So thank you, Lord, that you have given us things. You've given us babies in real ways and in responsibilities of what you've asked for us to be stewards. You've given us precious things to take care of and to make better. And that's in human lives. That's in ideas. That's in your truths, your promises. And I just pray that you just help us, each of us, to know at the end of the day when we put our heads on our pillows, as we're in faith and we're loving the love that you give us, that we also are carrying that stewardship faithfully that you've called us to. You say that he who's faithful in a little thing will be faithful in much. And so just help us, God, in the little things to see where we're at. This isn't, I don't hear your voice of condemnation or your voice of you have to do more. But I do hear your voice that there is an account I will have to give. It is important how I spend my time. It's important how I spend my life. And that counts for this world and for the one to come. And so just to ask you, Lord, that you would lead us in that your spirit would speak into that. Help us as disciples to follow you in your name. Amen.